All right. Hello, everyone, and good evening. Welcome to Sensibly Cynical. My name, of course, is Mr. Cynical Sensibly, aka the host, obviously, Sean. And joining me is the host of the Anti-Social Show and Succotash Shut-In, Ben Zahner, Tyson Zahner. What's up, man?
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for having me.
You like that intro?
That was a great intro, yeah.
Well, 30 minutes I counted of IT issues. And you know, well, let's not get more than 30. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, let's plow ahead, shall we?
All right. All right. Yeah, let's get to it before we are here for 2 hours. All right. So today we're actually going to talk about rock music. All right. So what we're gonna All right, so it kicked him off. So let me see if he can come back. All right. So it kicked you off, and now you're back.
It's kicking off my microphone for some reason, so I just keep clicking it to come back on, basically.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So today we're going to talk about, obviously, music. So let's just talk about your history. Didn't you tell me in the past that you actually were in a band or played, you know?
Oh yeah, I have been in a band. Absolutely. I've had a pretty long relationship with music.
So talk about that.
Well, it's you know, it started young with an appreciation of music, starting probably with stuff I heard on Sesame Street, and then, you know, yeah. Like, you know, because there's a lot of really catchy stuff on there, by the way. Joe Raposo, great composer. A lot of classic new to me as a baby, melodies and things. Anyway, yeah. You know, songs like Somebody Come and Play, stuff that's very musical, very melodious. And that led me to the Beatles, basically, which is probably my first adult music. And then after that, at some point, I don't know, 10 years later, maybe, I found rap, I think. Anyway, I got into EDM, but I like all sorts of music, and I definitely do like rock and roll throughout the years.
yeah, throughout the years. All right, so for me, man, I was all over the place. First, I started off with rap because, you know, I'm in Florida, so I was not too far from the, you know, Atlanta scene, you know. Uh-huh. So I was into like 50, T.I., people like that. And then I'm in high school and I'm like, well, you know, to be honest, I wouldn't say I was like a loser in high school, but I lacked in the friend department. So anyways, you know how they have those initiations, not initiations, but one of those, what's the thing where you go through your classes the day before?
Oh, I was just going to say hazing, but no.
No.
You go through your class.
Right?
Yeah, it's like initiation, but it's not. It's not.
Well,
that.
you bust balls after it's over. But no, so you
orientation.
Bust. Yeah. I don't know why I laughed at that. Anyways, that's by fine. The way, I think what helped with the diverter, we failed on this, but I think what happened was I had it the wrong setting or something. Anyways, let's get back on track. So
well,
I'm
it's
in
nice
line.
To see you anyway.
Yeah, well, you like my background?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Mine
and,
is
and the green for Sensibly Cynical. Well, what stinks about this is that the link that I posted that is technically not this one, but it's okay. It's whatever, right? We're on. That's what matters. We're on YouTube.
Sure.
All right. You see the Sensibly Cynical shirt? I've had this one for a while. But anyway, so nice. I'm in. Yeah. So anyways, I'm in orientation, right? I'm just sitting in line. I'm like this. And this guy, like, it took me a second to realize who he was. This guy came up to me. He's like, oh, hey, Sean. I'm like, where the like, I think I can cuss on YouTube. Where the fuck, like, have you been? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, he's like, oh, well, he had people because he was like a sophomore, you know? So I'm like, I went from no friends to decent friends, you know? So I'm like, oh, I used him as a networking kind of thing to become not a loser in high school. So I'm like, so I act. I'm like, oh, yeah, man, it's been cool. I don't remember who the fuck this guy was. I'm like, yeah, man, what's going on? And then I'm like, oh yeah. He's like, oh yeah, I played soccer with you like 8 years ago for comp. I'm like, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You're the one that sat the bench. I'm just kidding, you know. But no, so he got long story even shorter. is that anyways? He was like, oh yeah, let's go to Disturbed. And I'm like, and
oh nice.
I got your logo changed. It says Antisocial Show now.
I did that so I could have some kind of visibility because I'm currently wearing my Antisocial Show.
I don't think we have any listeners anyways, because we changed the link, but
oh okay.
It's whatever.
Well, I can tweet anyways, it out if you send it to me, but yeah.
No, don't worry about it. We're on. That's what matters. Okay. So anyways, long story short, I'm at a Disturbed concert. He's like, oh yeah, Disturbed. I'm like, well, I don't know who the fuck Disturbed. And this was before, you know, I mean, there was Google, but I'm like, I don't even know who Disturbed is. And it was at the Amway Center in Orlando. And I was like, oh yeah, these guys are fucking crazy. People were doing mosh pits. And here mm-hmm, I'm like a 16-year-old, like, how do I say this? Haven't been initiated yet by a woman, you know, so
sure. So you haven't had your orientation yet.
Haven't pulled out yet. So but anyways, yeah. So so I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing, you know. I'm at this concert. I'm just trying to fit in, you know.
At Disturbed, wow.
Yeah. So my first concert was Disturbed, and like 10,000 fists. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you in fact get down with the sickness?
I mean, yeah, 10,000 fists, down with the sickness. Yeah, it was good times, man. And then I ended up going again. But they awesome. but this group got me, you know, in a phase I'm not proud of, you know. You ever play the game Quarters?
I am familiar with it, but I've never had the opportunity to actually.
Of course,
play.
I was 21 when I did this, Tyson. You know.
Sure. But, oh God. Yeah. Yeah, I remember 21.
I'm fast forwarding 5 years. But anyways, so we would do quarters in the garage, you know.
Okay.
And if you got the quarter in the shot glass, that was your turn. Actually, I think it was if it got in the shot. I think we did a spin on it. I think if you get the quarter into the shot glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's the shot glass is filled with like not Everclear, but like some heavy shit, and you had to pick who was going to take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
We were like 151, so we're like
oh god, so I remember that stuff.
They banned it because it's flammable. Anyways, so really? you had to pick who was going to take the shot. Well, me and my buddy behind his back picked the same guy.
Wait a minute. So where did they ban 151?
Well, I think at bars or something. I heard something about, you know, it being not available, you know, but.
Oh, it's possible. I'm just wondering, is it not available where you are?
No, no, no. I don't know. This is rumors I hear say.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, that's what got me into the rock scene. And then I dated this gothic chick.
Uh-huh.
And she got me into like Bullfriend Valentine. She was into like Him, I think some band from Finland. Hum is one of my favorite bands of all time. But yeah, they're a great band. They got lost in the. We'll talk about them later. Okay. I'll advocate for Hum. It's my own podcast. I can advocate for them.
Sure.
So so anyways, yeah. So she got me into all that, like My Chemical Romance.
Mm-hmm.
Gothic shit. And
My Chemical
I was like,
Romance. Wow.
Yeah, My Chemical Romance. Have you heard of them?
I have heard of them.
They're good stuff.
I don't think I've heard a song by them per se, but
Black Parade. Black Parade, I think.
Okay.
Welcome to my is it Black Parade? I don't know. It's something about my parade. So it's something with a parade, and it's like a long what's it, melodonic? Is that a word?
It's kind of. It is now. It's melodic, I believe, is what you're.
Yeah, same thing, you know?
Yeah, I like melodonic, though, because it reminds me of belladonna, which is sort of a hallucinogen, so it's like a hallucinogenic melody.
You know what's cool about this? We're rambling on YouTube with no listeners. That's what's fun.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. So I was into a bunch of things like that, and then I got more into it, like Tears, like Bullfriend Valentine, Tears Don't Fall, Papa Roach, Stain, mm-hmm. Shine Down.
Oh, yeah.
So enough about that. And then, of course, punk. I got into the punk rock scene. Punk, what, pop punk.
What was your... Oh, pop punk. Okay. I was going to say...
So like Blink-182, Newfound Glory, Yellow Card.
Was Blink-182 your first punk show? Punk show?
No, like... No, I didn't go to a... I didn't go to Blink-182. I just liked their stuff. But...
oh, I see. Okay.
But I did go to Earth Day Birthday in Orlando, which had a bunch of pop punk bands. More like rock alternative, kind of like, you know, like Shinedown, Stained, Papa Roach, like I said, Kid Rock, I think, was mm-hmm. in it. Mm-hmm. And then it would have like, it was like a 2-day, you know what weekend events are, Tyson, where they have the main events at the very end. And then these radio stations would invite smaller bands that win a competition to get on it. Mm-hmm. You know, so
Earth Day Birthday?
Yeah, it's in Orlando, Florida. But okay. So that's what my background is. But before we continue, Tyson, mm-hmm. how's the podcast going? How's
Which one? Oh, okay.
How's that going?
Oh, it's fine. It's it's in a little bit of a, not exactly a actual hiatus, but it's kind of like the holidays are getting a little more complicated to release episodes frequently, but we still have a couple in the can, and I will get to editing those very soon. Mm-hmm. And they will be published. I believe your episode is up.
Yeah. Well, I have breaking news for you, Tyson. You are the second member of the highly, highly coveted Sensibly Cynical Four Timers Club.
Holy cow.
Take a bow. You've been on this pit of misery four times.
Well, thank you very much for having me on that many times. I do feel special, honestly.
See the mug with my real name on it?
Yeah, oh, no, that's cool.
But I just like your deadpan style. I tell you that every time. You're just classic. I love it. I'll keep having you on.
Oh, I appreciate that you enjoy what passes for a personality that I have.
No, I think it's great. I love it. I don't even think it's intentional by you. I just love the personality in a heterosexual way.
Oh yeah, I understand.
Because you're married. I don't want to cross that line.
I appreciate your discretion.
And not wanting to cross that line.
Or not discretion. I appreciate your boundaries. Your thought, I don't know.
Thoughtfulness.
I'll take that. Yeah, thoughtfulness is good.
So enough about me rambling about nothing.
Okay.
Go into your history with music, or try to do the best you can at least.
So okay. So yeah, the Beatles were the first like band where I listened to as much as I could, as soon as I could. Thankfully, my dad had Beatles on vinyl, and there was something really amazing about it to my brain at the time. I also liked classical music, and I think that I probably heard the influences of classical music in the Beatles. That's possible. I also really like this one single that was popular in the 70s. It was called Joy by Apollo. I'm going to say 100, Apollo 100.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard that song?
That sounds familiar.
So it's a 70s rock interpretation, kind of prog rock interpretation of the song Jesu Joy of Man's Desiring by one of the Box.
What's the song called?
The song is called Joy.
Oh, here it is.
And it is by Apollo 100.
Yeah.
And it was
Joy by Apollo 100 is a 1971 instrumental pop hit record. It's a rendition of a 1723. But wow. So it's a remake from 1723. What the hell?
Yeah, well, it's a song that goes. It's an old one. Let's see.
It hit number six.
Groban sang it.
It hit number six in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's the one that goes. Et cetera, et cetera. Except it's got this like. It's got a beat, and they put a beat behind it, and they turned into like a, well, it wasn't disco yet, but it was definitely like, what was the category that they said it was on there? They had a list of
pop, like progressive pop, it says.
Okay, cool. So I called the progressive part. That's hilarious.
That's Wikipedia, you know, the gatekeeper of all things factual, right?
What's that, Wikipedia? Oh, certainly. I'm a contributor.
You know?
Okay, so I did send out a link. So we on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did? You did send it? Hold on.
So I don't know if we're going to be getting, but I did send it.
Here's the thing about, I'm just starting this YouTube. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I'm like just starting, so I don't want to disclose how many followers I have on it, but it's not much.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes being on there first.
I hear you. Know? I actually have YouTube videos on YouTube.
What's cool about this is even though I only have 13 followers, this will stay on. That's why I kind of want this to do this rambling. What we're doing rambling on. Mm-hmm. On YouTube, because this stays, like it's easier to push this to people on YouTube than Instagram.
I hear what you're saying. Oh yeah,
because once I build this will be like in the archives of listenership.
I got you. Well, I think that I believe that every I think it's good for everybody to have kind of like a we're getting our stuff together episode essentially. You know, I've never gone live on YouTube. So this is a first for me as well. I was going to start streaming, doing gaming at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. So, I intend, but I'll be probably using Twitch. I have videos on YouTube right now. Yes, sir.
So can I be inquisitive about something? And this is not
100%.
This is not criticism.
Okay.
I'm just inquiring minds want to know. So what do you think? Was the issue with when we were trying to get on?
No clue. Not 100%. No clue.
So
no,
I could actually. What happened, ladies and gentlemen, is like I said in the beginning of the show, we actually had IT issues. But here was what the crazy part is: I could actually hear you.
But like, I couldn't see you or hear you.
Yeah, that was wild.
So that means I was coming through. But go ahead, you're talking.
But before we even lose more listeners. Than the ones that aren't even on here yet. Let's continue on. So go. So you said you actually, were you in a band or were you just putting out samples? Talk about that.
So I have been in a band, but that's not, so I was in a band for about, I don't know. It was less than a year. I was asked to join a band as a vocalist. And perhaps additional songwriter and perhaps additional guitar player in high school, a band called Gypsy Sunrise asked me to be part of them. And I really liked their sound. Sorry. I was just reminiscing a little bit anyway. So that, you know, there were a bunch of nice guys and, we played, did a couple gigs in high school. I learned a couple of their songs. We learned a couple songs together and then it never really went anywhere for me with them after. They changed the lineup with like two additional people, but like Dan Anderson, like Brett McKinney, he was always there. There was a guy named Doug Spivey, and then Jacob Morgan took over bass duties. At any rate, they were all very talented musicians, and I always kind of felt like I was along for the ride. But thankfully, I've been able to play guitar for at least since high school. But being able to play and being good at playing, of course, are, you know, two different things.
What was it that drew you to actually performing?
Oh, to performing. Wow. Well, I always liked to tell jokes when I was younger. I liked to, what drew me to performing? You know, I would see things that would make me laugh. So like, the Beatles weren't necessarily funny, in the same way that say Danny Kaye was funny. So like, maybe I'd memorize a Danny Kaye song or something I heard on Dr. Demento, or, you know, actually I did a lip sync of Danny Kaye from the Inspector General as a way of basically getting people to laugh, you know? And so, and then I didn't really start singing, which was my first thing, until like eighth grade or something, somewhere between sixth and eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then playing the instrument was later. But like, I've always, like I said, I've had a long relationship with music. But I'm just not, I mean, there are people who are amazing at it, but I mean, I just remember, go ahead, but I remember music being really a thing. Go ahead.
Before we get to the Mount Rushmore, what was your thoughts on music as the like pop punk scene? What was your thoughts when, you know, all those bands back in the 90s got big, you know, Nirvana, Blink-182, Newfound Glory. There was this band that I kind of got into that didn't made a bit for a while. Pardon me. It's the pizza I ate, you know?
Sure. Certainly. Yeah.
But this band that's no longer around, but it was, I don't know. Have you heard of Jimmy Eat World?
I have heard. Heard of Jimmy Eat World. Certainly.
Probably in the top 100 band names of all time. Jimmy Eat World is classic band name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, they were back in the late 90s, and they ended up getting dropped, but they have that one-hit wonder. I mean, technically. Some people say it's a one-hit wonder. Some people don't. It's the middle is what it's called. And so what was your thoughts on the pop-punk scene coming
which in? One, well, which one's that song, by the way, the middle?
It's called The Jimmy. Middle by Jimmy Eat World. I don't know the melody offhand, but
okay.
And I don't think I don't think I can play it on YouTube, copyright. And
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. So, well, you know, we could talk about fair use and commentary on things later, but certainly. So what was the question?
What was your thoughts on the pop punk scene coming up in the 90s?
In the 90s. Okay. Does pop punk include Green Day?
Yep.
I liked Green Day. They used to play in, I believe in Arcata. They played there a couple times. They had actually changed their lineup right before they got really big. Their drummer, they replaced the drummer with a guy who's in there currently, Trey Cool, I think. And the previous drummer, I believe, was part of another band called the Ne'er-do-wells, and they weren't exactly, I don't think I would call them pop punk, but they were interesting. They kind of reminded me of like, it's like aggressive 50s music or something. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I'm just looking up right now. It says definitely Green Day is pop punk. And also the Ramones. I remember the Ramones. They were also pop punk.
Oh, yeah, the Ramones. I'm sorry.
Back in the day, you know.
I like what I've heard. I've only heard, you know, a couple things. I hear that.
But,
you know,
punk really like, and what, who, and another, I forgot about her until I was just listening to her stuff. Avril Lavigne. She was a big influence, like not like influence, I guess, on me or my style of music. Cause if I was an actual artist, people would throw tomatoes right off the bat. I can barely podcast, but so Avril Lavigne, you know, Don't Tell Me. She has this latest song. She did a song. I think it's Bite This or Bite. No, it's Bite Me. And she was big back in the day.
She did Skater Boy, right?
Yeah, and there was also a conspiracy that she actually died.
It's because she had Lyme disease, I think, and
this was like a clone, or it was some demented like theory that she actually got replaced by someone that looked like her. Look it up.
Well, just like the Beatles, or just like Paul McCartney, the Paul McCartney death hoax. That happened.
Yeah. So like Avril Lavigne has to answer it every once in a while.
I liked that song Complicated. That wasn't particularly.
Yeah. So anyway, she was big, and then the Beach Boys. I almost put the Beach Boys on my list. Like not my four, but like on my, you know, honorable mentions list. So I almost had the Beach Boys on there.
Do they count as rock and roll?
I would put Beach Boys in rock and roll.
Okay, pop. Well then,
pop. Go ahead. Pop rockish.
Yeah, it's certainly pop. It's certainly pop. It's like surf music, and it's sort of rock music adjacent. What I've heard of it, but you know, it's not. It's certainly got grooviness to it. A lot of it does.
Yeah.
Great production. I mean, Brian Wilson is a genius.
Yeah, and I also got into. I actually saw the band Sister Hazel. Have you ever heard of them?
I have not heard of Sister Hazel.
They're a somber acoustic band, rock band itself. I saw them, alternative rock. Like it was that girl I was telling you about I was dating.
Uh-huh.
She was into stuff like that, you know. And Sister Hazel basically had that song All For You, which is like, they're definitely a one-hit wonder. So you may have actually heard All For You, like if you actually heard the song itself. My guess is probably you've heard it. I would put All For You in like the top I don't know, 50 one-hit wonders.
All so for You.
Yeah, by Sister Hazel.
Okay. Yeah.
It's really, it's kind of like what's our word? Melodonic? Melodic?
Melodic, I believe.
Are you looking it up? All for You?
I'm actually looking up somebody else at the moment.
It came out. It came All For You by Sister Hazel.
Well, I wrote down Sister Hazel. So
came out in 1997. Yeah, and it was like it peaked to 11 in the top in the Hot 100. But these guys are out of Gainesville, Florida. So again, it's a Florida band.
Okay,
makes sense. I live in Florida.
Absolutely. It's my understanding. Up near the Panhandle, correct?
Yeah, I'm near the Panhandle, yeah. Ooh, I got you on full screen. That's pretty cool. I don't want to fuck with this, but I got you on full screen. Kind of okay. Creepy. I'm like that's zooming in on myself. It's weird. I need to get out of this. Anyways, it's like literally consuming the whole laptop.
So, you know, one of my favorite groups actually later in, I'd say in the late 90s and up to, by the way, this is another group that I put on the same level as. I don't necessarily dislike anything I've ever heard them do. Does that, like the Beatles for me, was like one of the first bands where I could just like, people say, yeah, one or two of their songs isn't good. And it's like, maybe I'm just not in the mood for one or two of them occasionally, but they're all good. So that's the way I feel about Ben Folds Five.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Talk about that. I've never heard of them.
Okay, well, it's so Ben Folds Five is a rock trio, mm-hmm. Consisting of Ben Folds, who is the main vocalist and pianist, although they also do supporting vocals.
Makes sense because the name.
Mm-hmm. It's a drummer, a bassist, a rock bassist, and a pianist.
Gotcha.
And they sing in three-part harmony. And one of their, let's see, they have a song called Song for the Dumped, which is fantastic. Also, there's a couple other ones. There's One Angry Dwarf and 200 yeah. Solemn Faces.
Oh, you zoned out. You blanked out for a second, making sure I didn't lose you.
Nope, okay, I'm here. Well, anyway, so they're self-described, I'm not sure by who specifically, as quote, punk rock for sissies, unquote.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just great music. They only have four official albums. Many of the people have solo projects. Ben Folds has crossed over. He's worked with Weird Al Yankovic a couple times.
Really? Oh, Weird Al. There's a person that we could talk about.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tyler, it's like, I mean, such a great musician. And the band that he works with, I mean, they're, you know, able to adapt to so many different styles. I mean, what the hell, right?
Yeah. So here's what I have planned for like the rest of this episode. Tell me if you're cool with this, what we do
sure.
here.
Sure, sure.
So let's talk about Weird Al. And then after we get to Weird Al, we can wrap up this. I want to talk about grunge. And then after we talk about grunge, we can get to the Mount Rushmore. Sound good?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So let's talk about Weird Al. What was your thoughts on his is this harsh to say Weird Al was funny, so he's gonna laugh. I mean, he's not gonna listen to this, but is it bad to say that he's rode the same gimmick for years? Is that harsh?
I'd say it's a bit harsh because it's a very specific talent.
But Google gimmick, mm-hmm. and you'll see where I'm coming from.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, well, the idea of parody, but not everything he does is parody.
Okay, I guess gimmick's kind of strong.
Yeah,
but
I'd say it's a little harsh.
Not that harsh. I think Weird Al would laugh at that. By the way, I'm a big Weird Al guy. I know that doesn't sound like it. I'm gonna keep this into the episode too, just to trigger people. But
I'll take your word for it that you're a fan.
No, I am. I am.
I say that.
What was the one? Just Eat It or something?
Oh yeah, yeah. That was off of 3D. That album. Yeah, Eat It was a bit. It was a parody of Beat It, of course, by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
There was a fantastic documentary that was called The Complete Al, and complete was spelled the same way that the documentary The Complete Beatles was spelled, which is C-O-M-P-L-E-A-T. Anyway, so The Complete Al, and it had a bunch of his videos up to that point. So we're talking like, I don't know, somewhere between 1982 and 1985. So real early. And then there's like And they were interspersed with this mockumentary or and some real documentary footage.
Right.
And there is a film that would get shown at his concerts of him basically asking Michael Jackson for permission to parody the song and explaining it to him. And it's this completely hilarious made up thing where there's like a castle that Weird Al enters, and then Michael Jackson's like on a throne in a red jacket and like turns into a werewolf at the end. And it was hilarious. And his commitment to the video, the actual video of, well, that's the other thing, is the music videos that he does. He does fantastic music videos. Uh-huh. Some of the best. Even just a few years ago, his version of Blurred Lines was this video called Word Crimes. And it's all about bad grammar and whatnot. And it's very well done. And it just looks like an internet video, but like those explainer videos that have like words and then arrows and things, like a lyric.
Some other songs that he made kind of that he parodied off of?
Well, let's see. He did. He did Nirvana. He did. Smells Like Teen Spirit. He did a Smells Like Nirvana. Also had a great video.
I remember that.
He did I Love Rocky Road. It was the song I Love Rock and Roll. There's I Lost on Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some older ones.
The Rye or the Kaiser.
Oh, the Rye or the Kaiser. Yeah, that's the theme the to Rocky something. I can't remember what the number
Kaiser,
is.
Kaiser, like, Kaiser, tomato, tomato, you know?
Yeah, it's the Rye or the Kaiser. It's our special tonight. Yeah.
You're like the perfect person to have on YouTube. We just ramble on about nothing.
Oh, thanks.
It's great. But you know what I mean.
I appreciate that. Well, I try to keep the ball going as best as I can.
But what I'm saying, in the grand scheme of things, this is nothing.
I hear what you're saying, man.
I love it. My style and your style just click, man. It's just good.
Well, thank you. I think we do well as well. We do. I enjoy talking to you.
Hunter is good. Hunter is good stuff too. Did you hear the Halloween special?
Hunter is hilarious. Yeah, I'm sure I did. I'll probably have to re-listen to it because
it's actually a good special. We talk about everyone should listen to it. Manhunt. We started off with Paranormal Activity, and then he was in the middle. So I'm sure he likes being in the middle. I'm sure Hunter likes the middle. He was Manhunt, and then we ended it with Manhunt was the end. He was zombies. Makes sense because his sweater handle. So I was like, what can I make up to have Hunter on the show? Oh yeah, his Twitter handle is zombie in it. That makes sense.
Okay.
So we were like, there was like no preparation, like even less preparation than this. It was like zombies. All right. Like the day before, I'm texting him what we're gonna do. Mm-hmm. Like just talk about the Shaun of the Dead.
Oh yeah, Shaun of the Dead. That was hilarious.
Dawn of the Dead. I was joking with him. I said, why is every horror movie end with Of the Dead? What's up with that?
That's like,
people can't be creative.
Gone with the Wind of the Dead.
Yeah, it's like every horror movie is just like every person now can get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like they opened their doors on every genre. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. And I wanted to talk about that too. But
sure. Yeah, anything.
Do you think Weird Al is like, would you say he's like one of the greatest like artists? Would you put him in the top 100?
Yes.
All time?
Yes.
Would you put 100%. Him in 50? Is 50 kind of high?
I'd put him above 50. Yeah, this is the thing. Well, you asked me earlier about Rushmore, and I just want to say picking four is difficult because somebody has to get bumped, but that's all I'm going to say. So yeah, but Weird Al in the top 50? This is in my experience, though. This is all, and the things that I've experienced. So, I mean, I've heard a lot of music that you and I have different music that we've heard, and some of us have things we've never heard, and that makes, so like our lists are going to be totally relative to each other, to ourselves is what I'm saying. But I do like hearing music and I like knowing about new music that I've never heard before. I always like
turned on to new music. We got to build up into the climax, Tyson. Did you go to school? Climax.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I edging?
No.
Conversationally?
I said the climax is the fucking Mount Rushmore. That's the climax.
And then the drop. Yeah, well, no, I would just, but I was just letting you know that no, speaking I'm of, because you mentioned it.
I'm just,
yeah. I think all this gets recorded to YouTube. So, I mean, I don't think there is editing.
I mean, me cussing is going to be on the internet forever. And I'm okay with that, you know?
Yeah.
When I go on my deathbed, you know, and everything like that, God's going to forgive me, I think, for all my transgressions.
It's a nice thought.
And then this episode goes weird.
I mean, we are talking about rock and roll, and it is the devil's music.
I mean, yeah, good point. But, you know. Dyson, cut it out.
I'm fine.
Like I say sometimes, cut it out.
Yes, you hand me the paper and say, I want you to make a snowflake now. Cut it out.
No, that's what the kids hear from teachers.
Oh yes. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist the urge.
I mean, nowadays, you know, teaching is a different podcast. But let's get back on track before we lose this one listener that's coming in and out of here.
Is there somebody coming in and out? Oh, cool.
There was.
I can't even see where they would be.
Keyword is was.
Was. Not was.
Was.
Was. So, not was. Sorry.
So let's talk about grunge. What's your thoughts on the grunge scene?
So that would include Nirvana. I like them.
Screamo grunge, you know.
Screamo, is that a band?
No, Screamo is a type of, I believe that Screamo is a type of grunge. I think there is Screamo grunge.
Who else is grunge? So like is Soundgarden grunge?
No. So
okay. Pearl
list
Jam.
List of Screamo bands.
Screamo. Oh, specifically Screamo. Okay.
Yeah. So like Envy, Hawthorne Heights. Have you heard of them? They're pretty good.
No, these all sound interesting.
Yeah. Look up Hawthorne Heights. They're
on
good.
What?
They're a good band. The Used. You may have heard of them.
I've heard of The Used.
Yeah. The Used was a band from Utah, and they came out, what am I thinking? You know, I need to drink more of this coffee.
Yeah, have some coffee.
At midnight my time. It's decaf, Tyson. It's decaf.
Okay, yeah.
I'm having decaf coffee at midnight my time. It's great.
I'm having...
It's not like I'm single and live alone or anything.
Single and live alone.
Yeah.
You I
get
hear
the
you.
Sarcasm there? Anyways, these guys are from Utah, so... You know, middle of fucking nowhere. And there goes my Utah listener.
Well, it's at least the middle of the country, or it's the left.
No, I know. I love Utah. Come back. Utah listener, come back.
I've never been. I might have been through it, but no, I think Montana's above Utah, right? Like literally geographically.
I actually had a rapper from Utah on the podcast not so long ago.
Cool. Which one were they?
Shout out to Grizzly. He's an independent artist trying to make it.
Nice.
He's actually pretty good. He's kind of has like the auto tune, kind of like rap trans.
Okay.
Like, you know, space with space rap. I think there's space rock. Everyone's heard of space rock. But I think there's also space rap, which is like zone out rap.
Zone out rap.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's space rap. That's a thing.
You know what?
Anyways, let's get back to your opinion on grunge. What's your thought? Do you think it's a little over the top? Do you think it's a little past your, I guess, taste buds in music? What's your thoughts on grunge?
Oh, no, I like grunge, what I've heard. One of us will look up grunge on Wikipedia and I'll just say whether I like what I've heard or not.
Let me list some grunge bands.
Please.
It's grunge. You should know what grunge is. So grunge.
I'd say Nirvana.
Nirvana is listed on grunge.
Mm-hmm.
It's listed at grunge. Alice in Chains.
I've heard of them. I'm sure I've liked one of their songs, but I couldn't tell you which one.
Soundgarden. Hey, Soundgarden ended 2 years ago. I didn't know that. Soundgarden.
Really?
Pearl Jam.
Because I believe Chris Cornell has been dead longer than that, but I could be wrong.
They may have had, So Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots, Mudhoney. Yep. I never heard of them.
Mudhoney, I've heard of them.
Melvin, that's a cool name. Melvins.
Oh, the Melvins? Yeah, I've heard
of them. That's grunge. Smashing Pumpkins. How have I done the podcast? It says 40 minutes. How have we done podcast for 40 minutes and not brought up the Smashing Pumpkins?
Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage.
The Smashing Pumpkins are like one of my favorite bands.
That's a good song. You know, they have...
Isn't that Billy...
Yes.
Yeah, him. You know, he's into the wrestling scene now, which is crazy. But Smashing Pumpkins, Candlebox.
I've heard of Candlebox.
Bush.
Oh, yeah, Bush. Yeah, absolutely. they had that... Oh, God, they had that song Mouth, I think it was called.
So you like the grunge bands, Puddle of Mud?
I'm fine with the sound. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What band did I listen that you want to talk about? Like of all those, you want to talk about Nirvana? Did you like Nirvana?
I did like Nirvana. Yeah.
I know we talked about them briefly earlier.
We did. So when he killed himself, my brother made a silkscreen T-shirt that said "Weep for Kurt, pray for grunge."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Yep, yep, pretty much. That makes sense." But I like what I've heard. I have not gotten too deep into the catalog, but again, I think at the time they came out, I liked some of the songs I had heard. But see, back then you kind of had to like go, I like this enough to buy it so that I will listen to it.
Right.
So that was kind of like a big decision at times. That's why I have probably more rap albums than anything else in my collection. My physical media collection.
I also was in the Candlebox. Did you ever get into them?
I don't know.
They're post grunge. They have their big hit was I just saw it.
I misspoke. I do know. I did not get into
Far Behind. Now. That's it. Far Behind. 1993, and then also You. Okay. You was a big one. So they were kind of influence on my taste too. Like
nice.
Like I said, like my ex got me in, and then after we broke up, aka after she dumped me. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a mutual, I think. It was a mutual contract ending, you know. Mm-hmm. We both ended our contracts with each other.
I hear you.
So after that, after we broke up, I kept kind of into it, you know, like I kind of kept into the scene and like
the music and whatnot.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, yeah.
You need to listen to Bullfrog Valentine. I mentioned them earlier, but you said you didn't know who they were. You need to listen to them. They got some Tears Don't Fall. You ever heard of that?
That sounds familiar.
That's a good song. It's like Tears Don't Fall. They crash around me. That's a good.
Who's that by again? Is that Candlebox? Did you say? Or?
That's one of my favorite songs. Bullfrog Valentine. Tears Don't Fall. It's one of my favorite songs in probably ever. I love that song.
Okay. I'll look it up.
It's like in a bit. Tears Don't Fall. And then people, it's one of those songs where the lead singer doesn't even have to do anything. You know what I mean? Where he can just hold the mic and the crowd sings the chorus.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like they can just be like, oh, yeah, this is a big hit. I can just take this song off.
That's pretty cool.
You know? But, yeah, so let's just continue. So you said that you got into, like, how deep in the rock did you get? Like, did you get to some, like, no-name bands, but did you, like, really get involved with, like, albums? Or were you vinyl or what?
Well, it started with my father's vinyl, but when I started collecting music, it was mostly on a tape cassette.
Mm-hmm.
that I can remember. So I definitely got De La Soul's 3 Feet High and Rising on tape cassette. I definitely got a Tribe Called Quest, People's Instinctive Paths Toward Rhythm on tape cassette. I got the second Jungle Brothers album done by the Forces of Nature on tape cassette. I got Boogie Down Productions, By All Means Necessary, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The one with My Philosophy on it. When CDs started, like my first rap CD was probably, mm-hmm. Public Enemies. It was Public Enemy, and it was the one with Can't Trust It on it. Apocalypse 91. So it was 1991. Apocalypse 91.
Oh, it makes sense.
The Enemy Strikes Black. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That had a version of mm-hmm. Bring the Noise on it, where I think they duetted with Slayer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that awakened something. I was like, ooh, this is neat. Now, it wasn't the first time that a rap group had paired with a rock or metal mm-hmm. group, because Run DMC had paired with Aerosmith for rock and roll.
Yeah, and kind of similar with, do you remember Insane Clown Posse?
I remember them.
They were kind of in Detroit back in the day, in the 90s, you know, mm-hmm. but they also got involved with, I can't name a rock band, but they also, you know, and they got, well, yeah, the Juggalos.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they also got involved in the rock scene, but they were mostly like, they were crazy popular back in the day. What was your thoughts on that whole scene back in the day? It was like horrorcore.
I'll be honest, rap metal. I feel like I probably would like it now, but I have never heard a single song by Insane Clown Posse.
Really? So. Google them.
I know that they exist. YouTube. Yeah, no. You know what I'll do is I'll probably do YouTube Music, because I tend to like put on an album and listen to it from end to end to get a feel for it. I did that with Goblin by I think it was Tyler the Creator. That was an interesting experience.
Well, he makes
some dark stuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, Violent J got into wrestling.
Really?
Yeah.
Like as a wrestler?
Like WWE wrestling.
Right, but I mean, like as a wrestler or just as a fan?
No, okay. Because
David Arquette did that. So.
Yeah. But no, horrorcore is a big thing. I had Poltergeist OD on the podcast, and horrorcore is like getting more popular than ever. You know, where people rap about horror movies.
You know, I'm actually working on a song, and it's okay for me to talk about this, at least from my collaborator. I mean, so like, if it's okay for me to, like,
Yeah. And if you noticed, I have a running banner on the bottom.
Yeah, I see that. Thank you. So I'm working. There's a song I collaborated on called Scary Love. It has not been released yet, but it's with a local comedian named Joshua Barnes, and he used to rap as somebody called Mental the Beast, which his stuff is on YouTube. The song Scary Love is he makes lots of horror movie references. Like there's just a bunch to get thrown in, so I put together something special for him, and I don't know when it's going to be released, but I like classic horror themed stuff. So like, I like that Rob Zombie likes to use, you know,
or like
White Zombie. White Zombie was named after, I think, a Bela Lugosi movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes, you know, horror movies. I've not seen Rob Zombie's horror movies, but I like that he appreciates horror movies, like especially classic ones. Not yet. Now, it's just I haven't got around to some of this stuff. So, I mean, like Hunter has probably seen every Rob Zombie film. Hunter, my co-host on Antisocial Show.
Well, anyway. he was talking a little trash about you during the Halloween special.
Mm-hmm. No, sure.
Not a lot of trash, but he was saying that he was going to go for your Sensibly Cynical record, Tyson.
Oh, I see. That's
but now he will know after listening. And plus he commented about your appearance on Instagram. Did you see that?
I did not see it.
He commented, so he was excited for, just like vice versa. You were excited for him. So.
Oh, wait. No, I did see it. I'm sorry.
He did have a comment. So you guys, it's like a match made in podcasting.
Hunter's a great guy. You know, I've known him for
almost a decade now.
Okay, yes, go ahead.
Let's not rise his ego even more.
Well, it already is. gosh, I don't know if he's listening. I wonder if he's listening.
I'm sure he will when we post the link and everything.
Huh.
Because what I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to do my editing skills. I'm going to figure out how to take a snippet of this and put it on Instagram video, like an Instagram reel. Probably about the time where, you know, I talk crap about a legend like Weird Al. I think that'll be timeless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. That should age well. So, the recording, the technical aspects of it, like, yeah, that's a whole other thing. So when you record, when you're streaming, is this recording to YouTube?
Yep. This is live on YouTube.
If you want to record something off of YouTube, like your own content specifically, or any kind of video, get OBS Studio.
Well, this is what we're doing. This is live, our own content.
Yeah, right. But I mean, if you want to get snippets, you can record. Unless you just want to download the file and put it in some editing software. But I could recommend a couple.
What's your thoughts on StreamYard? Do you want to talk trash about them, Tyson, or you'll pass?
I'll pass. I haven't had that much experience with them, and I'm not sure what I'm.
You don't want to alienate StreamYard on your opening appearance, right?
Again, we've only just met.
You like my bricks? I made those.
Your bricks are very cool. Yeah, it's yeah.
Well, it's, they give you like two or three free virtual backgrounds, you know. And what's cool about it is you can put a logo behind you if you want.
Really?
Like you can have your image. You can upload an image. Like, really? You can upload an image, and that can be your background on this thing.
Very cool. I occasionally throw a background up on when I'm doing Skype with for Antisocial Show or Succotash.
Yes.
By the way, go ahead. Okay.
So, what's your thoughts on Blink-182? Did you ever get into them? Because I was big into them. I was huge.
This is another thing where it's like I definitely have heard Blink-182's songs. Dude, I'm pretty sure I've liked what I've heard, but I cannot name a song. Name a Blink-182 song, because I can
Rock Show, Mutt. Off the top of my head, Aliens Exist. That's my favorite. That's one of my favorites. There's a bunch of them. I've done Instagram reels on Alien. I did an Instagram reel on Aliens. What's My Age Again? I know you've heard that.
I've heard What's My Age Again.
People would get off of this if they're even listening at all in the future. They're not listening now, but in the future they will listen to this. And if you would have said no on What's My Age Again, they'd be like, all right, bleep this crap.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah, he loses his music cred card.
Yeah, What's My Age Again? Here's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the risk. Okay. So I'm gonna play the first 10 seconds of What's My Age Again.
Right.
Live on the podcast. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go.
I feel like this should be an ongoing.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure I've heard that one before. So I'm just writing down these ones so I can have a chance to do a little more research on them. It's interesting because it's like there's a gap in our kind of like crossover, but we have some stuff in common, which is nice. Like, I think I was getting into electronic music around the same time you were getting into.
What's that? When I was getting into pop punk, is that what you're saying?
Maybe it's possible. So how old were you when you were getting into pop punk?
Well, like I said, I was a little later than they actually came out, because Blink-182 came out in, I believe, 1992.
Oh, sure. No, I mean, I have lots of music that I came to late. Like, I didn't realize I liked Burt Bacharach's stuff until like the mid 90s.
But I got into them. I got into them because I graduated high school in 2005, so I definitely remember them in high school.
2005. Okay, so you're class of 2005. I'm class of 92. So
age is just a number.
So in 2000, yes, but it does help. Numbers help with math. So in 2005, I'd been married for 2 years. So let's see, high school and seminary. So yeah, so like when you were in high school, I was getting into. Oh no! I'm sorry. You started high school in 2001.
Yep. And I remember it vividly because the event that we shall not name on here happened while I was in homeroom.
Okay, so 10 years after
event that we all know about in 2001.
I know not which of what you speak. No, I do. No, not which. Okay. Do not know.
Okay, well, let's just move on. But that was that year. And I remember because my two brothers, all three of us were in high school at the same time.
Wow.
I was a freshman. Derek was a junior and Troy was a senior. So isn't that awesome? That was so much fun. I would ride in the back of his Mazda. You know, that was back in the day where, you know, you could put the bed down and you wouldn't have to worry about. And plus, I was in a small town, so if they see people down with the bed, you know, they're not gonna pull you over in a small town. They're just gonna be like, oh, those kids are having fun, you know.
Sure.
But I had. I made sure that I didn't escape the back of it. We had a belt or something that held me on, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm 13 or 14. So those memories, and I'm 35, by the way, I'm 35 in less than a month.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I still remember those memories like so many years later.
Sure. Happy birthday in less than a month. Okay. So yeah. I'm just trying to, because it helps me nail down what I was listening to know what year, you know, was. So I guess.
Yeah. Like what's my age again? Like I just played on there. So
I was doing a lot.
Blink-182 was huge, and Newfound Glory is also a big one. They're still putting out music. Blink-182, I think, is too, maybe not, but I know Newfound Glory is. They were also a big one that you probably know of.
Newfound Glory. I've heard of them. I think I actually heard them interviewed on Loveline, perhaps back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Which band had an album called "Take Off Your Pants and Jacket"?
Oh. That was Blink-182. That was Blink-182.
Okay, well, I've definitely heard them on Loveline then. And I think I probably heard Violent J of the ICP as well. But go ahead.
It's a shame that they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So with that note, let's get to our Mount Rushmore.
Our actual Mount Rushmore. Okay, go ahead.
Of rock music.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I have your list. Do you have my list?
I did. It's on my Instagram here, but I have to bring it up.
All right, so here's how we're gonna play a little fun game on the podcast.
All right,
on three, we're either gonna say rock, paper, scissor, and whoever wins gets to say their list first.
Okay,
so on three.
All right,
one, two, three. Rock,
paper.
Oh, paper, you won. Paper. Yay. Covers rock. All right, what's your list?
So I'm gonna go from four, 3, 2, 1, basically. So I guess it would be the bottom of the list, but it's not really the bottom. I'm gonna put the Rolling Stones on there. If we're talking about putting a group up on a Mount Rushmore, and by the way, I understand that Mount Rushmore is four heads, but I'm still just thinking it could be like, you know, their logo or something indicative of the Rolling Stones. At any rate, to where you know it's a collective thing, because although I have not heard their entire catalog, I have heard a lot of their music, and they have an undeniable connection to rock and roll.
Right.
You know, and also being contemporaries of the Beatles and lots of other people, and they're still going. So, I mean, like, you got to give it to them because of that. They, at the very least, deserve to be on the classic Mount Rushmore, if that's what we are, in fact, talking about. As far as if we're talking about rock and roll, I got to say them.
So four was Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's favorite band. It was either, when I was a kid, it was either Rolling Stones or Neil Young.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're two very different moves. Well,
he would tell us as a kid to guess which one it was.
Neil's gone through some interesting music styles. So he had an electronic album.
Gimme Shelter, Rolling Stones, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Satisfaction, the classics, Jumpin' Jack Flash. You know,
all right, number three.
So number three. Yeah, this was kind of tough, but who did I put at number three? I know. All right,
let's do this a little rapid fire.
Oh, there they are. Yeah. So number three, I'm going to put probably Elvis.
Okay. You had Beatles as three, but you're changing it up now.
Well, I'm saying the two.
No. See, well, change it up. That's cool.
Well, they're it's interchangeable with my two as well. Like I'd say that, you know, if we're going ranking and also by like historical and whatnot, then, you know, it's like technically my next choice should come before, but the I don't know that I've got, I might have mixed up the influence, but I know that these guys were contemporaries and there was a little bit of comparison at the time, but who did I say? I said Elvis, right?
Mm-hmm.
King of rock and roll. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, were we going to do our entire list or do our only slots? Was that the point of the verbal fargling?
Mm-hmm.
The rock, paper, scissors? All
right. Yeah, so go ahead. What's number two?
Okay, the Beatles.
Okay.
Definitely the Beatles. Yeah, so why not one?
Yeah, so you said Beatles is three, right?
Two or three, yeah.
Okay, so Beatles is two. Now, what's number one?
Number one is, well, if we're talking about the history of rock and roll, we've got to...
Oh, did you say Elvis? So I'm confused. So four is Stones. Four is Stones, right? Three is Elvis. Wait, I'm confused. Start over again.
Okay, four is Stones. Because they're fourth because of history and whatnot. Because history, as the kids like to say.
Okay. Go ahead. Three.
So let's say three is Elvis.
Okay. Two.
Beatles.
And one.
Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
Okay. So talk about her.
So Sister Rosetta Tharpe, reading from Wikipedia. She was an American singer, songwriter, guitarist, and recording artist. She attained popularity in the 1930s and 1940s with her gospel recordings, characterized by a unique mixture of spiritual lyrics and electric guitar that was extremely important to the origins of rock and roll. She was the first great recording star of gospel music and among the first gospel musicians to appeal to rhythm and blues and rock and roll audiences, later being referred to as the original soul sister and the godmother of rock and roll. She influenced early rock and roll musicians, including Little Richard, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Chuck Berry, Elvis Presley, and Jerry Lee Lewis. So, because it's a Mount Rushmore, I feel like leaving her off of this Mount Rushmore would be a grievous mistake or an egregious thing. Now,
well, she's the godmother of rock and roll. That's where her claim to fame is, right?
Yeah. So I guess.
Well, that's what it says. So, all right. So I'm going to do mine. So for me, four is Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
Everyone probably has heard of Led Zeppelin.
A lot of good songs. A lot of good rock.
And I like their later stuff too. There's a song I forgot the name of it, but there's a song in the last, I don't know, I think maybe in 2008 or something, that's really good.
I didn't know that.
Elvis is probably three.
Because
we already talked about Elvis. He was 1954. He sold over 50 million records. I mean, that's self-explanatory. Two is Beatles and one is Rolling Stone, just because my father, you know, I have ties.
Nice.
So
makes sense.
So and I also wanted to talk about Metallica. Do you remember Metallica? Were you big into Metallica? The Black Album?
Was Black Album, that's the one with Enter Sandman on it?
Mm, yeah.
Did it have one?
It was Enter Sandman, yeah.
Because I liked the song One, and that was probably the first Metallica song that I listened to from end to end. That was also their first music video, is my understanding. And I liked that song, so that was kind of my gateway. Like, I knew kids in grade school who were into Metallica and Megadeth and AC/DC, and kind of like the more harder rock fare than, say, you know, certainly harder than most of the Beatles music, with the exception perhaps of Helter Skelter, which is pretty heavy at times. I do like what I've heard. I like Master of Puppets. I think that's a great song. And I'd listen to more of them. I like their collaboration with, I don't know if it's a collaboration or if there's their interpretation of, I think it's Ennio Morricone's The Ecstasy of Gold. So they're good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And they, of course, they, we can't. Let's end this podcast with Ozzy. Were you a big Ozzy person?
I like what I've heard. I like War Pigs. I like you know, a lot of
like the, rock till death. You know,
absolutely. You know, a lot of the stuff that I get to hear, got to hear after not having access to the radio or new music was mm-hmm. by hearing people sing songs at karaoke. So I got a little more Ozzy that way. I got a little more Neil Diamond that way. Got mm-hmm. a little more Korn that way. Got a little more of these, you know, this here and there. I'd hear stuff and be like, oh, that's interesting. So that would be where I'd be able to hear the stuff that would make me go, oh, I'd like to listen to more of that. I did have a take on the Mount Rushmore thing in case you, unless you wanted to get out of here, which mm-hmm. I understand.
What were you going to say?
Well, you know, so you said of Mount Rushmore, and I thought about it, and I was like, you know, if the people on Mount Rushmore were in a band, what would they have? And I wrote down my guesses on that. And then I also wrote down the reality based on their actual music ability. Are you interested in this at all?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so here's what I thought. So obviously, let's start with George Washington. So he's there. To me, you know, he seems like the lead singer, you know, maybe mm-hmm. keys, maybe keyboardist at the same time. You know, he seems like a guy he's the leader. He's the first one. So it makes sense. So maybe he's the lead singer, you know, right. Thomas Jefferson. He's on Rushmore, right? Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of them.
So I'm thinking rhythm guitar for him.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's hard to explain. I initially had him for keys. I wouldn't put it past him to also do something with keys, but you know, people have to play one instrument, you know? Uh-huh. So that's Jefferson. That's what I got for Jefferson. So Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, right?
Right.
So I was thinking, okay, so he's part of the Rough Riders. So he was on horseback a lot. So I'm thinking rhythm. I'm thinking he's a drummer, you know?
Uh-huh.
Teddy Roosevelt on drums. And then, Lincoln, well, there's something missing obviously from here. And, I see Lincoln and I think bass player. So I think stand up bass. So I'm thinking he's playing electrified, maybe stand-up bass. Dum, 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 dum. You know, one of those things. Or you know, whatever it would be. Dum, 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 dum. Anyway, so so that's what I was thinking. Now, here's the reality.
What's the reality?
George Washington played the flute.
Right.
Throughout his life. So he could still be the lead singer, and it could be like Jethro Tull, so which is, you know, has a rock group with a flautist,
right?
All right. So Jefferson, he actually played the violin and the cello.
Really, the cello?
Yeah, it says to a lesser degree. I did not know that, but definitely a violin. Yeah.
Interesting.
Roosevelt, want to guess what he played?
No idea.
Roosevelt played the harmonica.
Oh wow!
Also known as the Mississippi sax.
Yeah, that's I'm sure he played that really well.
he may have. I've heard he did well. Also, I believe Eisenhower did, but he's not on Mount Rushmore. And then finally, Lincoln is listed as he apparently could neither play nor carry a tune. So he didn't have musical ability. However, I still think he could be in the band because he was good at writing. So maybe he does a spoken word part. Maybe he just writes the music. Maybe he learns to tap his foot, do a tambourine. Who knows? But, you know.
There you go.
And then so you've got a group that would be a flautist, a string player, and a harmonica. And then no rhythm section except maybe Lincoln tapping his foot.
All right. Tyson?
Yes.
I appreciate you doing this. Before I
thank you, sir.
Before I crash here at 12:40 my time. Where can people find the podcast? I have your Instagram handle on the banner. Where can people find your podcast?
Easiest place to find it, thank you for asking, is at www.tysonsaner.com. That has all the links, including links to Antisocial Show, to Succotash, the Comedy Soundcast, which I still co-host, and to my music videos. My gaming videos, is my YouTube channel. All my links are there. My wife Laura's gaming channel is there. It's all at www.tysonsaner.com. And since my name's on the screen there. Hopefully people will be seeing that. And it's spelled that way, except it's all lowercase and scrunched together. So,
all right.
Please watch my gaming videos, people. Please. And look, be on the lookout for more music because my SoundCloud's on there too.
All right. And I, of course, am Sean, the host of the Sensibly Cynical podcast, which is the channel that you are hopefully subscribed to if you're listening to this. And you can find Sensibly Cynical pretty much at any podcatcher in the world. All right, Tyson, that's it for this evening. I appreciate you coming on.
Anytime.
Technical difficulties and all.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for making me part of your first live broadcast.
Yeah, and for those that disagree with the list, well, they'll be okay. They'll survive.
Yeah, yeah. They'll be fine.
All right. Adios. Thanks, everyone, for listening in the future, because not right now. in the future. All right. Later, Tyson.
Peace. Thank you.